أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ولا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How is everybody doing? Can you hear me okay? السلام عليكم. Can you all hear me okay? Yes, okay. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. Okay, very good. MashaAllah, جزاكم الله خيرا. Today what we have is something very exciting. Very, very exciting. And what we will be doing today, inshaAllah ta'ala. Firstly, we are going to conclude the ayah number 10. Of Surah Al-Baqarah, because we did not finish the I'rab of the ayah number 10. But insha'Allah ta'ala, we will finish that first, and then we'll move on to Al-Ajrumiyyah bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. I am going to try to see if we can, in every session, sneak in another a 10 or 15 minute session of Quran study, so we can keep that momentum going. I think that will be super beneficial. Insha'Allah ta'ala, let's see how that works out. Without further ado, let's get started with the ayah that we were studying, which was, if you might remember, في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا ولهم عذاب أليم بما كانوا يكذبون. We had studied this ayah in the sense of translating it word for word. Then we had studied the ayah in the sense of doing i'rab of it until فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا, until this part, correct? I hope you remember that. We did this one, right? And their hearts is a disease, so Allah increased them in disease. And we learned that زَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا as a idea or as a sentence was a jumla fi'liya. And in the ayah notes, we talked about how this is increasing something in something, right? Increase someone in something or something in something. So that's why in is added in the translation. Allah increase me in knowledge. Or in this case, Allah increase them in disease. That was that. فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. Now, the next part of the ayah is وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Okay, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Okay, this is going to be an interesting part. Right, there is my sentence. Okay. All right. Now, this is the one where the wow is going to begin the sentence. Okay, this wow is the period here. Okay, فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. Now the wow begins the sentence, and then we start from لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. What type of jumla is this? Focus on this part of the sentence first, please. This is a jumla. Ismiya ahsantum. Well done. This is a jumla ismiya. Jazakumullah khairan. Okay. Jumla ismiya. I need to know where the mubtada is. Again, this is only this part. Focus only on this part for now, please. The mubtada is عذابٌ. Very nice. عذابٌ. أحسنتم. The first مرفوع اسم. Yes or no? Okay. We also have أليمٌ. What is أليمٌ? قبر? No. Very good. It is منعوت نعت. Right? So عذابٌ is منعوت. Bun is man'ut, and the na'at is alimun. Punishment painful, i.e. a painful punishment. Adabun alimun. Okay. Where is the related? Lahum, right? Before it, ahsant, well done. The related is before, it is, let's call it related number one, shall we? Lahum, okay? It's before the mubtada. What is the reason for that? Indefinite mubtada. Ahsant. Related is before mubtada because the mubtada is indefinite. The same reason as the sentence before. Fi qulubihim maradun. Right? Exactly the same reason, right? Exactly. Alhamdulillah. But now there is going to be an interesting little twist. Are you ready for the little twist? We're like, I'm not sure. Okay. If you notice in the translation, I'm going to scroll up to the translation here. Okay. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Look at how we translated the ayah right here. We said, for them is a painful punishment, right? وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. But then there is also another part of the sentence. Bima kanu yakdhibun, because of what? Because they used to lie. Because they used to lie. Correct? Do you agree? There's another part to the sentence. Excellent. That other part to the sentence, what does it look like to you? Mubtada is there. Related is here. There's no khabar. Okay? What could this possibly, the part that's not highlighted, what could that possibly be? Related number two. How so? Do you have a harf jar there? Do you have a harf jar? Yes, we do. Which is B. Related number two is harf jar B. And the ism majrur is bima. Very good. But ma is what? Ism mausul. Very good. Ma is ism mausul. And what would be the sila? The sila, more precisely, the sod. Kanu yakdhibun. Ahsant, ya Ismail. Ah, very good. Kanu yakdhibun. Then كانوا يكذبون is going to be the sila. Are you with me? But is كانوا يكذبون a sentence as well? It is a sentence. Let's look at it. كانوا يكذبون. كان is a, what is kana? Ism or fi'l? Kana was a fi'l. Correct. But do you remember? Do you remember something about kana? Fi'l naqis. Ahsant ya Ismail. What does that mean? Fi'l naqis. It is, I'll show you, inshallah. Well, an influencer on Jumla Ismiya. It comes in a Jumla Ismiya instead. Ahsant. Well done. Changes, yes. Right? It is what we call an amil, an influencer. Not to be confused with the ridiculous people on Instagram. It is an influencer, an additional word that comes in the beginning of the Jumla Ismiya, affects the tashkil, terminology, and meaning of Jumla Ismiya. And we have two primary ones, Harf Nasb, Inna wa Akhawatuha, and Kana wa Akhawatuha, incomplete fi'il. With Kana wa Akhawatuha, what happens? Well, what happens with Kana wa Akhawatuha is Kana is a fi'il and has a tense. But its meaning is incomplete. To complete the meaning of Kana, it comes as an influencer on Jumla Ismiya. So you would have the word Ar-Rajulu Qawiyun Mubtada Khabar. You put Kana there, it becomes Kana Ar-Rajulu Qawiyan. The khabar becomes mansub. The khabar becomes mansub. And that, you can remember it by like, you know, any ayah of the Quran, like, Kan Allahu Aliman Hakima. Just remember that. Kan Allahu Aliman Hakima. Innahu Kana Tawwaban. Kana Tawwaban. Like that. Just remember that. If you don't remember, is the khabar mansub or is the mubtada or the ism mansub? If you have trouble remembering that, just remember the ayah. Innahu kana tawwaba. Tawwaba is what? Khabar, right? Kana Allahu aliman hakima. Aliman is khabar. So the khabar is mansub. That's what changes with kana. Okay, now. The khabar, we have ism kana and khabar kana. Qawiyyan changes to that. So that, folks, is the effect on terminology and effect on the tashkil. The effect of meaning is the meaning changes. The man was strong. The man was strong. Past tense. All right. This is how you would add a tense to a jumla ismiya. Okay, now here is something interesting about kana that you may have not remembered. Kana with a present tense jumla fi'liya as khabar kana. Do you see this? قالوا وجئتنا لنعبد الله وحده. They said, have you come to us so that we worship Allah alone? وَنَذَرَ مَا كَانَ يَعْبُدُ أَبَاؤُنَا. And we leave what our forefathers worshipped. What do you notice there, O people? In terms of the meaning, what do you notice? The meaning in this context, kana ya'budu, kana past tense, ya'budu present tense, the meaning becomes the meaning of, you know, constantly or continually. What does it become? Constantly or continually. Look at the how we translated the ayah. Because they used to lie, it's continuous. In Arabic, it's called istimrar or istimrariya. It's something that continues. If you lied once, that's just one occurrence. If you are continuously lying, that's a habit, isn't it? That shows your character. Continues in the past, exactly. Because the past tense is for something that could happen once in the past. If I said, kathaba fulanun. Fulan lied. That would be true if they lied every single time, or they lied once in a while, are the only light once in the past. Are you with me? But if I said, كَانَ فُلَانٌ يَكْذِبُ, then what happens? Then I'm saying this person, Fulan, he used to lie. He's a habitual liar. You with me, people? This is what كَانَ and يَكْذِبُونَ. Sister Michelle was asking this last time. Well, there is the answer for why we have كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. All right, now let's look at the actual jumla. كَانُوا is your fi'l, right? Your fi'l, the way we look at it, by the way, is that we look at first by saying, the fi'l naqis. And then I want you to also highlight the pronoun, okay? So I'm going to call fi'l naqis كانوا, tell me the pronoun of the fi'l. What is the pronoun of the fi'l, O people? Wow, which is the ahsantum. Did anybody watch this video? This Orientalist guy who was making a video about how there's a change in the Quran's text. Did anybody see that video? No? Okay. It's very interesting. This guy is like making this video. And he's trying to prove that the Quran's manuscripts have been changed. Okay. Now, there's a very easy answer to that question, which is, like printed copies of Quran. This Quran, or this is a Mus'haf, not the Quran. There can be a mistake in a Mus'haf, a printing mistake. There are copies of the Mus'haf, especially older copies of the Mus'haf that I've found, where you're reading and like, oh, there's a mistake. And you take it out of circulation and you give it back to the publisher fixes it. This is actually a very interesting occurrence. But the point of the story I was trying to get is, he was like, oh, look, somebody came and added this alif. No, not Muhammad Hijab and Yasubadi. This is an Orientalist. Okay. He's like, oh, someone came and added an alif. And I'm like, yes, because there was an editorial process to the Mus'haf. The editorial process was the people who memorized the Quran by tawatur. By tawatur, like by an amount that it would be impossible for someone to then come and change the text down the road afterwards. So when a scribe would write down the Quran or copy the Quran, the scribe is human, the scribe could probably make a mistake. The editor afterwards who's going to publish it would, from memory or from, as a part of the editorial process, make sure that Quran doesn't have the mistake. But the miskeen was using the example of Aliful Wiqaya as an example, saying, hey, see here, they added an Aliful Wiqaya. And I'm like, you clown, you know what Aliful Wiqaya actually does? It's to show that the wow is the pronoun of the fi'l. The wow is the pronoun of the fi'l. Anyway, long, interesting thing. There's a bunch of brothers who are working on a good refutation for this guy. But it's quite interesting because when I watched that, I almost spilled my coffee because I was like, man knows nothing about Alif al-Wiqa, I should join our class, inshallah. Alright. Kanu, the pronoun of the fi'il as well. Fi'il naqis. Now, I have this. Can you tell me, I need ism kana. Ism kana. What is my ism kana? The waw, yes. Ahsant ya Ismail. The waw is the ism kana. The waw is the ism kana. Oh. The pronoun of the fa'il is the ism kana. They were. Yes or no? The khabar of kana is what? The khabar of kana is what, people? Yakdhibuna. Ahsant. Yakdhibuna. Very nice. That right there, folks, is your khabar of kana. And if you were real fancy, you would realize something else. What is that? That this is a jumla as well. A jumla fi'liya, right? Fi'l is yakdhibun. Fa'il is wow. Right, now you can take a look at it and understand how it all comes together. Bima kanu yakdhibun wa lahum adhabun alim. Adhabun alim is your mubtada. Lahum is your related one. And that has to be before the mubtada because mubtada is indefinite. Wa lahum adhabun alim. That itself, the sentence, the meaning is complete. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adds a related number two to explain to us why. Bima kanu yakdhibun. That's a very deep point, by the way. Why does a person, how does a person become a hypocrite? How do they live a lie? Well, they live a lie because they used to lie. Bima kanu yakthibun. That was their habit. And this is why this is the biggest slur that's used in the Quran against prophets. Right? They would say, Fir'aun would say, what to Musa alayhi salam? فَقَالُوا سَاحِرٌ كَذَّابٌ. He's a magician, he's a liar. Right, this is the worst slur to call a believer because the believer is the opposite of a liar. You see that? بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. This is your related. بِي حَرْجَرْ مَا اسم مجرور. Ma is ism mawsool as well. And kanu yakdhibun is the sila. That sentence, kanu yakdhibun. Kanu is your fi'al naqis. Wow is the ism kana. Yakdhibun is the khabar kana. But the khabar kana is also a jumla. Questions of integrity. Ahsan system shab. Yakdhibun is fi'al, wow is fa'il. Ah, what do you think, people? Good? Alhamdulillah. But you see how stuff in the Quran is, you know, interconnected. The sentences are not just like random. The Quran doesn't have punctuation marks. Okay? The punctuation marks you put in your head as you're reading from the Arabic grammar. Okay? That is what the Arabic of the Quran necessitates. That's the expectation of from the reader and the listener. That's what the expectation is, by the way. That you're not super, like, it's not like you have to be like a grammar whiz or something, but you are sophisticated enough and you're paying enough attention to understand where the punctuation marks are going and where a sentence ends and where a sentence starts and where a sentence ends and how the two sentences are related to each other. You're supposed to pay attention to that part. And the part that allows us to do so is our understanding of grammar. All right, people. So that was that, alhamdulillah. Now we go to Al-Ajrumiyya. Al-Ajrumiyya. Fama adraka mal ajrumiyya. Hold on. All right, here we are. Class resources, right? Everybody can access this, yes or no? I saw Brother Mushfiq, I think, in the WhatsApp group asking about what is this Quran study. So Quran study is a program that's my teacher is teaching. It's an Arabic program. Like, it's a program that's a hybrid of Arabic and English. And in that, he teaches tafsir of the Quran. And just like how we're doing it, with a bit more detail. And he's right now, I think, working through Surah Nazi'at, the 30th juz. So I felt that you guys at this point could be part of that class to take what he's teaching and to benefit from what he's saying, even if he is, the level is a little advanced. Okay. But I think that exposure would be good if you're able to make the time to attend it. Unfortunately, the time is that time only. Yeah. All right. I added a few things in the course material. You can attend until the end of August, Sister Rochelle. No, it's only Sundays. Oh, I should have put that there. Only Sundays, not every day. Every day will be very nice and intense, but they'll be too intense for people. All right. So here we are. Course materials. I've added three things here, and I'll show them to you one by one. The first one is called Simplifying Al-Ajrumiyya. Second one is called the Matn of Ajrumiyya. Matn is not to be confused with mutton. Matn is what means a text of something. Okay, so the text of, if I'm writing, if Ajrumiyya is a matn, it's a text that is very condensed. Every word has a lot of meaning. And then the sharh, explanation, expands upon what the meanings are. Okay, it's like it's almost like a it's almost like a I forgot the term in English for it, but if there's, like, for example, an acronym that you remember, hadith narration, similar, yes. If there's a concept, sometimes concepts are summarized by like an acronym. Or in science, you have concepts summarized by a formula, right? That would be the matn. The sharh of it is, how do you get the formula? What does the formula mean? How do you apply it, right? That's the sharh. So the formula is very dense. It's like a few words. The sharh is very expansive. So what we have here is only the matn. Okay, only the matn, and I'll be doing the sharh. I'm using the sharh from my book here. It's called Sharh Matn Al-Ajrumiyya. It's the sharh of Al-Ajrumiyya by Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, who died, I believe, in 2000 or something, a Saudi scholar. This is the one that we'll be using. It's compiled by Abu Layth Qasim Ibn Agri Mutiba, I'm sure. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. There's also Matn of Ajrumiyya that we'll be using, because this one, sometimes the man omits something, unfortunately. Very sad that he omitted some chapters. Otherwise, he would just use this guy. But since he omitted some chapters, we might have to use this one, the Matn of Ajrumiyya, as translated by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf. Then there's also this guy, Al-Ajrumiyya in Charts and Tables. However, this is in Arabic. Okay, so this is for your own reference. Okay, I am going to just go through it. This is compiled by this brother here, Thomas Maldonado. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right. But this is something that we will just reference quickly. And it's something that you can... that you can look through if you like to. But what I actually like about this collection is the biography of Ibn Ajrum. And I think this is worth our time to study a little bit, to read a little bit about who Ibn Ajrum was. Okay. So who is Ibn Ajrum? Al-Ajrumiyya is written, it's called the text of the man from Ajrum. Who is the man from Ajrum? This is how it used to be back in the day. الجامع الصحيح right from البخاري. That's how it would be. So it became صحيح البخاري, the authentic collection of hadith of the man from Bukhari. That's how they would name it, right? So this is Ajumiya. What is who is Ajumiya? He is Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Muhammad ibn Dawood As-Sanhaji. Okay, that is the area that he, or that is his family. The faqih, the nahwi, the Arabic grammarian, Moroccan by birthright, and better known as Ibn Ajrum, which is a word taken from the Berber language of the Amazigh, and is alleged to mean the poor Sufi, right? So he is ethnically a Berber, right? You know what a Berber is? They're the ethnic people of North Africa who became Muslims after the conquest of North Africa and remained Muslims even after the colonizers came and whatnot. And so that's where that's who he was. It's a non-Arabic word of the Berbers to mean poor Sufi, but I did not find the Berbers knowing it to mean that. Rather, it is a specific tribe from among the Berbers, a tribe named Banu Ajrum. Okay? And that is where, like, his grandfather was known as such, Ibn Ajrum, and thus kind of like it became a family name. Okay? He was born in Fez, Morocco, right? In the area known as Sanhaja, that's why he's called Al-Sanhaji. This is how it was. You're born in a place or you live in a place, you become Al from that place. Okay, you're born in Mecca or you lived in Mecca, you became Al-Makki. Like that. Okay. He studied there and then desired to go to Mecca for the Hajj, where he passed through Cairo and stayed there for a while to study and under and obtain certification from the Andalusian grammarian Abu Hayyan Muhammad ibn Yusuf al-Gharnati. Gharnati from Granada. Yeah, Granada was the area of Spain. Who passed away in Cairo in this year 1345. The common era, 745 of the Hijri era. Right, so he's about like 800 years after Prophet's Hijrah. All right. Now he comes and in Mecca he authored in fact, it should be Muqaddimatul Ajrumiyya fi Mabadi Ilm al Arabiyya, the introduction of Ajrumiyya regarding the basic fundamentals concerning the science of Arabic language. Okay. He wrote this book. It was a primer text that was studied in the science of Arabic language in his time, because which based its fundamental sections of both of the Kufi and Basri schools of grammar, despite the fact that Ibn Ajrum himself followed closely the school of the Kufis. This is actually one of the reasons why his book gained prominence. Okay, it was a excellent fundamental book. Okay, a primer text that was the foundational text of Arabic grammar. And he also avoided differences of scholarly opinion between the two schools of Arabic grammar. You're like, there's schools of Arabic grammar? What on earth? Yes, they are, in fact. There was the Kufa, the school from Kufa and the school from Basra. Right? The schools, you could say, they are in fiqh, they are legal schools of thought. Okay? That make for precedence. In grammar, similarly, they would quibble over things like, if you're writing the, I'm calling it quibble intentionally, they would quibble over things like, if I say, daraba yadribu darban, they would say, well, I believe the Kufans would say, well, the fi'il came before and the masdar came second. Okay? Whereas the Basrans would say, no, in fact, the masdar came before and the fi'il came from the masdar. So it was a lot of these things, like right now, are just like a footnote in the books of grammar and history. But back in the day, it was a big deal, right? You had to like learn your I'rab from one of the two schools. So what Al-Ajrum did, rahimahullah, Ibn Ajrum, he kind of just transcended the differences and made this primer text that everybody can agree on, and then any school can kind of just like teach it to their preferences. So that kind of was one of the things that made it very, very good. He went to is narrated in other books that he went to Mecca after writing, or he wrote, sorry, the Muqaddimatul Ajrumiyyah in Mecca. In fact, he wrote it in the Haram and then made tawaf after writing it, holding the book, asking Allah to bless it. And subhanAllah, here we are about 1,000 years later studying what he has written. Not 1,000, maybe 800 years later. Studying what he wrote. It tells you, folks, if you do something with sincerity and make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, inshallah, bless your endeavors. He was, and one last thing that is important about him, or interesting about him, is that he wasn't just like a one-trick pony. Just wrote one book. He wrote many things. He was, he was known for giving legal rulings, meaning he was a faqih, a person who was a judge in the sense of he could hold legal opinions and provide legal opinions, provide fatwa. He was a mathematician. He was the one of the scholars of grammar, okay, and a scholar of tajweed and recitation of Quran. As you can see, these people, what's something interesting is that in our tradition, and this is unique to our tradition only, it is not something you find in any other tradition of the world, where a person would be the sciences of studying the religion and the world were not too like too, there was no separation between them. Okay, you would have people who were mathematicians, grammarians, and also fuqaha all at the same time. And they would study all of these same things in the same madrasa, in the same masjid. They would learn all of that in the same place. That was the norm in our tradition. Our tradition never pitted a scientist against a clergy. That was not the case. That was a European problem. That was a European problem that caused the whole secular movement and the French Revolution, da da da. All those things are more interesting problems. But in Islam, we never had that issue. We never had that confrontation. In fact, as Muslims, we believe that the Quran is the word of God and the world is the creation of God. So there is no like contradiction between the two sciences or two branches of knowledge. It is actually all coherent, all ties in together. That is something that is uniquely a Muslim worldview that comes from the Quran and Sunnah, and that is something that we find throughout our history. And that's something you don't find in any other tradition where you would have people at odds with clergy and scientists, or clergy and doctors being at odds at many, many times. Okay, so this is who Ibn Ajrum was, a polymath, a scholar of great many things. Wrote Al-Ajrumiyyah in Mecca. It became important because it kind of unified the two schools and allowed the schools of thought to teach their own opinions without, losing the forest for the trees. And he was, ethnically from this area, from Morocco, from the, he was a Berber ethnically. Okay, so this is who he was. You can read the rest about himself here and more. The PDF here is quite interesting, because what it will do is that it will actually break down the text You see, the text of Al-Ajurmiyah, if you were to compare and contrast, see, the first chapter is Anwa'ul Kalam, types of speech. Okay? Al-Kalamu huwa lafdhul murakkabul mufidu bil-wad'. Speech is composed of saying or utterance which is beneficial in its placement or composition. Okay? So look, he will break down the definition. Al-lafdh, al-murakkab, al-mufid bil wada. You see that? That's what this table does. It's something that you can kind of read later on. Aqsamul kalam, the categories of speech. Ism, fa'il, harf. Remember that? So it breaks it down like that, right? Raf', nas, khafd. Khafd is majrur, by the way. Okay? Khafd is majrur. And jazm is only for fa'il. So he breaks it down like that. Alright? That's kind of how these tables are. But these tables, we'll come back and reference them after we've done our studying. Because right now, they'll be a little confusing. Right now, what we'll get into is chapter number... We're going to start from chapter number 6 here. I tried to find a better version of this PDF, but I couldn't, unfortunately. This is someone's like notes, you know, like they're taking notes here, as you can see. All right. Chapter number 6 is where we're starting here. The terminology here is a little it's a interchangeable a little bit, and I'll explain to you what terminology we're going to be focusing on. Okay, now let's scroll to find it over here. Where is he? Sorry. No, hold on. Still finding it. SubhanAllah, where did it go? I was just reading it the last night. Ah, there it is. Okay, chapter Babu Marfu'at al-Asma. That is what we're going to start at. Okay, Babu Marfu'at al-Asma. You see that over here? Babu Marfu'at al-Asma. We're going to start at this chapter because I think this is where we have the most value. All right. What does the Arabic text say? Are you people ready? Do I have a volunteer who wants to read the Arabic text? It has tashkil. Don't be shy. Oh, yes. Sister Shamim. You all can unmute yourself, right?
Okay, I'll give it a go.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay.
Right here.
Okay. Al-marfu'atu sab'a.
Very nice.
Wahiya al-fa'ilu wal-maf'ulu alladhi lam yusamma fa'iluhu.
Okay, yeah? Very good. Yes, please.
Wal-mubtada'a wa-khabaruhu wa-wasmu. Kana wa akhawatihi wa khabar. Inna wa akhawatihi wa tabi'u lil marfu' wa huwa arba'atu ashya'a. Anna'atu al-atf wa tawkidu wal badal.
Ahsant, well done, Zishmi. Well done, mashallah. Barakallahu feek. Al-marfu'atu sab'atun. The nouns that are in the state of rafa' are 7. What's a noun that's in a state of rafa'? An ism that is what? Marfu'. Okay. So, rafa' and marfu' are interchangeable terms. Okay, people? Let's write down al-ajrumiyya. Let me make this guy. How did I spell it here? Should be two A's there, in fact, because it's the Alif. Ajrumiya. That's how he spells his name. But that's all right. In English, spelling names are often not precise. You know, they're translated spellings. Okay, so we did the intro to Imam Ibn al-Ajrum. Now we're going to talk about the chapter of the Marfu'atul Asma. Marfu'atul Asma. Oh, that didn't come out so well. Babu Marfu'atul Asma. So babu marfu'atil asma is going to talk about the reasons why an ism can be marfu. You with me, people? In fact, it will be all the reasons why an ism can be marfu. That means once we've studied this, there is no other reason for an ism to be marfu. Everything is included here. People, you with me? And then we'll do the babu mansubat al asma. All the reasons for an ism to be mansub. And then we'll do babu majrur or makhfudat al asma, which for us will be majrur. All the reasons for a ism to be majrur. And then, alhamdulillah, you have a very good understanding of how stuff becomes marfu, mansub, and majrur. Right? Yes or no? That is what we're trying to do. Okay. How will we benefit from this? What do you mean, Shamim? Like, in the sense of how do we apply this?
How will it help us to better our understanding?
So when you know why, when we were studying the Arab, right? When we're studying, when you're trying to understand the Quran, the way we're doing it now is we translate and then we figure out what's the Arabic, what's the Arabic of the sentence, okay? So this knowledge of grammar, this is where there's a lot of stuff here that we have done before. And there's other stuff here that we haven't seen before. And that things that we haven't seen before comes all the time in the Quran. So for us to be able to fully understand what the Quran is saying, this is necessary information. It's also an overview of what, you know, what Arabic grammar is, right? Because we've started, we have looked at individual topics and chapters very deeply. This is more like a bird's eye view. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
Okay, it says al marfu'atu sab'atun. How many?
Seven.
How many categories of marfu' isms, oh people? Seven. Very nice. Alhamdulillah. How many categories? The answer is seven categories. All right. Name me the first one. Number one. Yahdikum Allahu islib alaikum. Number one is al-fa'il. Very good, right? So I'll write the Arabic and the English with it. People, you with me? Al-fa'il. The doer. Right? Do we know something about the fa'il? Alhamdulillah, we do. That's or no? Like, have you studied the fa'il before? You bet. Alhamdulillah. Okay? This chapter will be a review. There won't actually be a lot of new things. There will be one or two new shades of the color. But the color will be something that you know. Okay? Number two. What is number two? Long thing. المفعول الذي لم يسمى فاعله. This is a long one, so I'm going to actually write it for you. Okay? المفعول. What is المفعول? مفعول, right?
Yeah.
But this is not any مفعول, because مفعول is in what status usually? What's the status of a مفعول? It's منصوب, right? So what type of مفعول is this? This is the مفعول الذي لم يسمى فاعله. Sorry, فاعله. The passive doer. The passive doer. That's how we're going to translate it. I'm going to explain this later, because this is a thing that we haven't studied. For example, the glass broke. Versus, I broke the glass. You see that? I broke the glass. I am the fa'il, right? And the glass is the maf'ul. Okay, maybe a better example. This is not a very good example. Sorry. Okay. Allah created the humans. Yes or no? Allah is the fa'il. The humans is the مفعول. We would say this by خالق. Actually, this might be okay. There. خلق الله الإنسان. Right? Yes or no? This is a passive or active? This is active voice, right? And al-insan is your maf'ul. Humans are maf'ul. Yes or no? Great. Humans were created. In Arabic, you will write it as خلق الإنسان. What type of voice is this? Passive voice. Are the humans like they're created, right? Still, it's not like they're creating, but they're created. But in the jumla, in this sentence, They will be the humans are the passive doer. People, you with me? I'm sure you can see it. But this is something, have we done before? We haven't done this before. In the jumla, see, it's marfu, right? You say this is the fa'il and this is the fa'il. بسبب أنزل yes ما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك right yes of course we will look at it for sure inshallah all right more on this when we get there is that okay but this is what he's referencing number three what's number three المبتدأ yes or no
Mm-hmm.
I think he has a typo here. Well, مبتدأ should be مبتدأ not مبتدأ. You see, that's what happens sometimes in these books. These guys are not very precise, but it's all right. المبتدأ المبتدا او دي مبتدا. Do we know about مبتدا؟
Yes.
الحمد لله. وخبره number four. It's خبر. خبره. What is this? The خبر. Do we know about the خبر? الحمد لله. اسم كان. وصف كان. And its sisters. اسم كان وأخواته. كان and its sisters. This is the first influencer, right? Number six. Sorry, not Kana. This is the Isim Kana. Excuse me. Isim Kana and its sisters. Isim Kana is marfu', right? Kana Allahu aliman hakima. Kana Allahu, right? Kana is the Isim of it is marfu'. Khabaru inna. Number six. Yes or no? Inna Allaha. غفور خبر إن وأخواته خبر إن and its sisters and number seven التابع للمرفوع التابع للمرفوع What does this mean? The followers of the مرفوع. Very good. The followers of مرفوع. Do you see something there that you recognize? العطف. We're going to call them the followers. The followers is four things. Oh, yes, of course. The first of the four followers is?
Not.
Not, right? If the man'ut is marfu', the na'at will be?
Marfu'.
وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ Correct? Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Number two, al-atf.
Connector.
Connected. Allahu Akbar. Do we know about this?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah, we do. Okay. At-tawkeed. Do we know about this? We don't know about this. Okay. Tawkeed is emphasis. And number four is Al-Badal. Do we know about this? Alhamdulillah, we do. But there's more to learn in Al-Badal, which we will see, inshallah. That is all the reasons for something to be marfu'. Okay? Do you see? Now, once we study this, now you will know exactly why something is marfu'. All right. Now, let's dive into what he says, shall we? باب الفاعل. Now look at this is the terminology used quite a bit in like English grammar books, English books that talk about Arabic grammar. Verbal subject. I when I was studying it, I could not understand for the life of me what a verbal subject was. So I always preferred the terminology فاعل, right? Because in reality, you want to train yourself to be able to understand the constructs in with the Arabic terminology. The English equivalent is a stepping stone to that. That's what I firmly believe. Okay? So that's why we called it the doer, and then we transitioned to calling it the fa'il. Right now we just say fa'il, fa'il, maf'ul, and we're all on the same page, alhamdulillah. All right? It allows you, if you ever want to go and continue your study further, allows you to have that foundation. Okay? Al-fa'il. Ready for fa'il, people? I need a volunteer to read the Arabic for me. So we have Sister Shamim who volunteered the first time. Can we have somebody else who can volunteer? Come on, people. Oh, we have Sister Shamim who will do it again. That would be too much to ask her to do it every single time.
No, it's inshallah. I'll get reward for it, inshallah.
Inshallah, you will. Barakallahu fiq. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Sister Shamim, please.
Yeah. الفاعل هو الاسم المرفوع المذكور قبله فعله.
Very nice. Ahsanti, Sister Shamim. Well done. The translation is the verbal subject. What is the verbal subject? What is a verbal subject? Tell me, people. What is that thing that we know? Fa'il. Very good. The fa'il is what? Is the noun in the state of rafa. Marfu ism. The fa'il is a marfu ism, which is preceded by its own verb. What does that mean? What comes before the fa'il? What comes before the fa'il? The fa'il. That's what he's trying to say. Is that a good definition of a fa'il? I think so. It's a pretty decent definition of a fa'il. Before it is fa'il, right? I'm just pulling out my notes here. Where is this guy? What does he say? He said, al-fa'ilu. Yeah, there's another typo in this book. SubhanAllah, there should be al-madhkuru qablahu fi'luhu. SubhanAllah. This guy has done a bad job. Even this is not correct. Bab al-fa'ili should be that. Okay. All right. The fa'il can also come before the fi'il, right? In fact, if the fa'il comes before the fi'il, it becomes a jumla ismiya, right, Brother Harith? It becomes a jumla ismiya. And then the fi'il is the khabar. In this case, the definition of the fa'il is that it comes only after the fa'il, and that's the correct definition. Are you with me, people? Yes or no? This is the definition of a fa'il. The definition of a fa'il comes, let's put this, the fa'il, okay, comes after its fa'il. That's the definition. Yes or no, people? Do we agree with that?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Comes after its fa'il. Okay. And it is marfu'. Right? Of course, it is marfu'. So we'll say marfu' ism that comes after its fa'il. Perfect. Now, what does he say? We have another volunteer. Uncle Ali, perhaps would you want to read? Brother Musa. Musa is not here today, subhanAllah. Ismail, how about you?
Okay.
All right, Ismail. Good man. So from here.
وهو على قسمين ظاهر ومضمر.
Very nice. Ahsant, Ismail. You know what? I'm actually gonna like this. I was reading this book last night. I did not notice it. It has a lot of errors. Subhanallah. Okay. I like you to try to read from here. Yeah, Ismail, if you can.
وهو على قسمين ظاهر
ومضمر. Okay. All right. Thank you, Ismail. Jazakallahu khairan. What is hold on. Do you know what I'm noticing here, which is a very sad realization? Can you guess why I'm not like explaining to you what's going on? Because there's Arabic grammar mistakes in the book of Arabic grammar. There's Arabic grammar mistakes in the book of Arabic grammar. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. All right, now here is the text. باب الفاعل. الفاعل هو الاسم المرفوع المذكور قبله فعله. There we go. That's the correct one. وهو على قسمين ظاهر ومضمر. مضمر with a فتحة. Okay. All right. Very good. It was, and it has plenty of mistakes as well, unfortunately. This one was by Hamza Yusuf, Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, and it has quite a few mistakes as well. As you can see, he's got that typo right there. قَبْلُهُ فَيَعْلُهُ, also a mistake. So we're going to actually rely on the text using the actual text, okay? And then we'll use this guy or Hamza Yusuf's translation as the main source of our translation. People, are you with me? Mm-hmm. Or maybe we'll just throw out the translation and just translate our own. Okay. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ قِسْمَيْنِ. Okay. How many? Thank you very much, Ismail, for reading that. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ قِسْمَيْنِ. There is two. قِسْمَيْنِ is dual, right? Mm-hmm. A pair. It is of two types. What is of two types? The fa'il is of two types. What's the type number one? Zahir, apparent. Mudmar, he says implicit. But you might recognize mudmar from the word damir. What is that? Damir. Starts with a P.
Pronoun.
Apparent, i.e. this is the outside door. And the pronoun is?
Implied.
That's what mudmar is. Outside door is zahir. And the pronoun is mudmar. You with me, people? When we were studying the fi'il and fa'il, right? Remember we did like the what's the fa'il? Yakdhibun, what's the fa'il? You would say wow. That wow is what? Mudmar. You with me?
Yes.
Awesome. Barakallahu feekum. So this is still a review, right? This is nothing new yet. Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah. All right. Now, let's see if I have... Ismail, you read only like a very small sentence. Can I ask you to read a little bit more?
Okay.
I'm not sure you read well. All like, whoever attempts it, they do a very good job. You start from here, Ya Ismail, and go up to here, right? So I'm going to put my cursor where I want you to stop. Tafaddal.
ف... فالظاهر نحو قولك قام زيد ويقوم زيد وقام الزيدان ويقوم الزيدان وقام الزيدون ويقوم الزيدون.
Very good. أحسنت يا إسماعيل. Well done. ظاهر i.e. the outside فاعل نحو قولك. نحو means is like قولك. What does قولك mean? Your statement. قول means statement, right? Your speech. So ظاهر is like your statement. What is he trying to say? He's trying to say the outside door is, for example, and he's gonna give you examples. What is the examples that he's gonna give? He's gonna say qama zaidun. Qama is what? Qama means to stand, right? Not qala, right? Qama means to stand. Yes or no, people? Qama, to stand. Let's just quickly review this. Qama, yaqumu, yaqumu. By the way, can you tell me the root letters of this? Qama, yaqumu. Qaf, waw, and mim. Ahsantum. Well done. Is there a irregular root there? R2, right? What does qama yaqum remind you of? Another fi'il. Kana yakunu, very good. Qala yaqulu, very nice. Right? Yes or no?
Yes.
It's exactly the same. Excellent. Qama yaqumu, command tense, what would it be? Chop, chop.
Qum.
Qum. Ahsantum. Ya ayyuhal muddathir. قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ, right? The waw drops when you chop and chop, and there's two sukoons at the end, the waw miskeen goes out the window. The master is قِيَامًا. قِيَامًا. What do you do in Ramadan? Which I don't do after Ramadan. I pray to Allah, He allows us tawfiq to do it after Ramadan as well. Qiyamul Layl. Very good. Standing of the night. To stand. Yes? All right. What is this standing? So he's saying Qama Zaydun. He's giving examples. Qama Zaydun. Qama fi'il Zaydun. Wa Zaydun. Fa'il, right? So he's giving you example of the outside door. Zaydun is your fa'il. Wa yaqumu Zaydun. What's the difference here? Yaqumu is your past, is present tense fa'il. Zaydun is fa'il, right? So qama Zaydun, past tense with the fa'il. Then he gives you present tense. We can just do this verbally. Yaqumu, Zaydun, fa'il. Qama, past tense. Az-Zaydani. What is this? Az-Zaydani. Zainuddin, Zidane. Two Zaids. Two Zaids. Two Zaids stood up. The pair. Excellent. Ahsant. Two Zaids, right? Two men called Zaid. Two Zaids stood up. Is this a marfu'? A Zaidani? It is. Muslimun. Musliman. Muslimin. Muslimani. Musli. Muslimaini. And then you have Musli. Muna and Musli. Meena. Right, very good. Okay, so he's showing you the Muslim chart. How the Muslim chart is used as a fa'il. But he's not using the word Muslim, he's using the word Zaid. You with me, people? He's showing you the Muslim chart. He's showing you the Muslim chart with the word Zayd. Now, by the way, the Zayd is a in Arabic is a is the whipping boy. As you will see, Zayd stands. Zayd will get hit. Zayd will get honored. No, Zayd will not get honored. Zayd will get hit, actually, as we will see. So Zayd is like the guy who comes in like very frequently in Arabic grammar books. You will, you know, we don't have anybody named Zayd. But I have a friend whose name is Zayd, and he was learning some Arabic grammar. So he would always ask me, he's like, "Why am I the whipping boy of Arabic grammar?" I was like, "I don't know, bro, but that's you were chosen by the grammarians." Okay, so you have. Firstly, he tells you singular, right? Zaidun. Then he's going to tell you the pair. Zaidani. Well, in fact, he makes it Al Zaid, the two Zaids. Zaidani. He's telling you how it is marfu', the alif and noon tell you it's marfu'. قَامَ الزَّيْدَانِ وَيَقُومُ الزَّيْدَانِ Past and what? Present. Excellent. قَامَ الزَّيْدُونَ What is زَيْدُون? Sound masculine plural, right? It's got to be masculine, right? Because Zayd is the name of a man. Duna. Right? You with me?
Zaydina.
Qama Zayduna wa yaqumu Zayduna. Just like Muslimun, Muslimani, Muslimuna. Zayduna. People, you with me?
Yes.
This is pretty easy so far. Now he's going to do Qamar. Oh, actually, let's see. Is there a volunteer who would like to read? Uncle Ali.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice to hear from you.
Yes.
All right.
Waqamar rajalu. Wa yaqumu rajalu. Waqamat.
Zijalu. Huh? With the kasra.
I think it's
there. That's okay. Waqamat. Keep reading. Waqamat.
Where it is?
Right here. See that? Muqamat Hindun.
Wait, I can't see.
Okay, can you see it now?
Yeah.
Yeah, start from here.
Yeah. Wayakumu Hindu Wakamal Wakamal Hindani Watakumul Hindani.
Keep reading if you can read up to
Wakamat Wakamat al Hindatu. وَتَقُومُ الْهِنْدَاتُ وَقَامَتْ وَقَامَتْ الْهُنُودُ وَتَقُومُ الْهُنُودُ
أحسن. Thank you, Akadi. Well done, mashallah. All right. What's he going to talk about now? What do you think? Firstly, he's going to talk about Ar-Rijal and Rijal. What's the difference between Ar-Rijal and Az-Zaydun? This is the what type of plural is this? Broken.
Broken. Yeah.
Human. Broken.
Plural.
Yeah. Ar-Rijal. Yes? So he's going to say Ar-Rijalu is marfu this way. قام الرجال يقوم الرجال outside file, right? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. Then he transitions into قامت هند. There's also a typo here. I'm getting very frustrated with this now. Allah, help me. Should be qamat Hindu. Wa taqumu Hindu. Okay? Hold on. Let me just verify this. Yes. Qamat Hindu taqumu. Yes, of course. Yes. This one should be Hindu. Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. Now, after he talks about masculine, Now he's going to talk about singular
feminine.
And what is the name he chooses here?
Hind.
Okay. Now, here is the thing. Hind is actually banned from Tanween. Do you remember why it would be banned from Tanween? It's a feminine name. It's a true feminine name. Aisha, Maryam, Zainab. Real feminine names. Okay? Yes or no, people?
Yes.
All right. So what's interesting about Hind is this is a very... It's a very common Arabic name. Very common Arabic name, especially old Arab. But I don't see it as very common today. A lot of people don't name their kids or their girls Hind. Does anybody know anyone named Hind? Do you know? Okay. Oh, you have a sister-in-law named Hind. Okay, never mind. I actually haven't, like, you know, in books, it's very common. From Morocco. Okay, there we go. All right. Alhamdulillah. Al-Hind would be India. Yes. Yes. Abu Sufyan's wife was Hind. Right? Al-Hind is India as well. Yes. But here, of course, is referring to the girl named Hind. Okay?
Named India.
Girl named India now. All right. Singular feminine. Taqum qamat Hindu wa taqumu Hindu. Yes? Or no? Now, قامت الهنداني وتقوم الهنداني. What is he showing here? The pair. But the pair, if it's a woman. Yes or no, people? Pair for the feminine. الهنداني. Okay. Then he's going to show وَقَامَتْ الْهِنْدَاتُ وَتَقُومُ الْهِنْدَاتُ. What is الْهِنْدَات? What type of plural is this? What type though? Feminine, you're correct, but what type of feminine plural? Sound feminine plural. Very good. See, he's following exactly the template of examples. Sound feminine plural. What is al Hindatu, okay? Al-Muslimatu. Next plural, he's going to give you another plural for the word Hind. What is that? Al-Hunudu. Al-Hunudu, okay? This is what type of plural? Human. Broken
plural,
but this time he's talking about which gender, the females, right? So he's giving you the female plural hunudu. You with me, people? Okay, so far it's been pretty much a review, yes or no? All right, now we get into something interesting. All right, let's see. Do we have a volunteer for reading? This will help your Arabic, you know, fluency too. It's nice to kind of, you know, step out of your comfort zone. Ismail, Ahsant, let's go, Ismail. From here to here, okay? Starting from here. Wa qama.
Wa qama akhuka wa yaqumu akhuka wa qama ghulami wa yaqumu ghulami wa ma ashbaha ذلك.
Excellent. أحسنت يا إسماعيل. Okay, very good. I'm glad we were able to read that part. قام أخوك. What does أخوك mean? His brother. His, excuse me. قام أخوك, your brother. My mistake. قام أخوك, your brother. Okay, what is he saying here? قام أخوك ويقوم أخوك. I'm going to write it as قام أخوك. أخوك و... يقوم. Oh my goodness. أخوك. All right. What is the word here that's that he's trying to highlight? The word أخو. Right? Yes or no? Is the word أخو مرفوع? The word أخو is مرفوع, yes or no? It is, because it's in the chapter of مرفوعات, right? And it's the فاعل. Yes or no? Now, what is different about أخو and زيد? Well, what's different is that you have a واو after the ضمة. You see that? There's a واو after the ضمّة. People, you with me? All right. I'm going to explain this actually on Thursday, but I want you to just notice this right now. There's a wow after the ضمّة. We don't have that in Hind. We don't have that in Zaid. We don't have that in the word Muslim, for example. Okay? But this particular instance, there is a wow after the ضمّة. That is something we'll come back to. Okay? قام غلامي ويقوم غلامي. غلامي means what? My servant. Okay? My servant stood up. My servant stands up. Okay? What is he trying to show here? Any guesses? The ya ending. Yes. Is the word غلام, what's the status of the word غلام? مرفوع, right? The word غلام is مرفوع. مرفوع. But it is مبني. It's مبني because of the يا. مبني because of the ya of my, the ya meaning my, right? My servant. You with me, people? That's what he's trying to show. Ghulami is not majroor. Ghulami is marfoor. It is an outside fa'il. You see, he's trying to show you all examples in one passage. Do you see the method of the book? Yes or no? Now, you know what they encourage you, what I did when I was learning Arabic, is you actually memorize this book. So what happens when you memorize it is that all these examples are in your head. And then, all of a sudden, when you are stuck, you can kind of just like quickly spit out the chapter where you're stuck, and then the example that he gives reminds you of the rule. Now, وَمَا أَشْبَهَ ذَلِكْ means... وَمَا أَشْبَهَ ذَلِكْ means, I'll explain this to you. وَمَا and what? أَشْبَهَ. أَشْبَهَ is what looks like that. Etc. That's what he means. He gives you some examples and he says, etc. You with me, people? This is what we'll come back to, inshallah, on Thursday. This one is clear. Everything else is clear. The only new thing in this chapter of the fa'il is قام أخوك ويقوم أخوك. إن شاء الله. And the mudmal is quite interesting. ضربت وضربنا. Remember that? Conjugation. But then the chapter that we don't know anything about. باب المفعول الذي لم يسمى فاعله. This is an interesting one. The passive voice comes in the Quran a lot. Inshallah, we will do all of this on Thursday. How do you guys feel about Ajurmiya and our first venture into it? People, how do you feel? Alhamdulillah. It is. I hope you will find it interesting, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. I will see you all on Thursday. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa jazakum.